it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Big Drive Energy Winner's Circle Monday. Little inside info for you, though. It's actually Sunday when we're recording this, so you are traveling back in time currently as you're watching this on the YouTube. Going live to you, but not live for us. This man's traveling tomorrow, so we're getting it out, banging it out on a Sunday afternoon. Nothing better. We're going to talk about Jake Knapp winning his first PGA Tour event. It's now Knapp time. Great fucking name. Great dude. Great looking dude. Great looking swing. A bunch of things great about this guy. Also, LPGA Tour in Thailand, won by a native country woman. And then the DP World Tour had a couple of great stories come out of it this week. They were in Kenya. And we'll get into the meat and potatoes. Jesus. Meat and potatoes of the story, but a couple of good stories this week, especially considering it was a down week on the PGA Tour. Definitely would have been a good week for Live Tour, but we're going to see our man Anthony Kim, AK-47, next week back on tour on professional golf TVs around the country at Live Jeddah. All right, let's tee it up. Winner's Circle Monday. I don't think there's anyone that's more excited to be in the winner's circle this week than one Jake Knapp. Great golf swing, for the record. Just such a smooth golf swing. Marissa, can we play his golf swing? It is in BDE, the first tweet there. Just kind of a little collage of his golf swing. He does not look like he's swinging it very hard. Like, if you saw this dude at the range, you'd be like, ah, it's a decent player. Also, shout out to him, PXG guy. I actually asked the guy when we did our PXG fitting last year and the driver versus driver driver challenge.
Hopefully, we're doing another one of those soon.
We'll be hopefully doing the Black Ops driver challenge soon. But we asked him, like, why don't you have very many tour guys? Do you not spend the money? And he basically just said, yeah, PXG and... Bob Parsons and the ownership group doesn't spend a ton of money to get guys out on tour. But now that the tour is becoming a little more watered down, is not the right term, but it's the only term I'm going to use right now, with players that aren't as well known because
non-household names winning.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's been like that all year.
Yeah.
It's pretty much all year, other than Hideki Matsuyama winning last week at the Genesis. Every tour winner this year has been a guy that, unless you really pay attention to professional golf, you know.
Yeah.
And PXG had two of the top three guys today, Justin Lauer and Jake Knapp, who ended up winning. And Jake Knapp, kind of funny too, when you see these guys winning, because he had like the Anaheim Ducks sponsor him.
Which is dope.
And he is sponsored by the same company as Cam Smith.
Yeah.
What is
Penguin.
That? Penguin. It's literally called Penguin. Yeah. I wanted to call it Penguin, and I was like, if that's not it, I'm
going to look
like
an idiot. No, it's just Penguin. That's the logo. I will say that do you remember when PXG first came out? They paid a bunch of tour players. They had Billy Horschel, Zach Johnson. They had a handful of other like household names. And I think they saw that their return on investment there was not really necessarily worth it. So they kind of went in a different direction. But now they're getting these younger up-and-coming guys, probably paying them a fraction of the price that they were paying these real established tour dudes. And now Jake Knapp winning, becoming more established, they're getting a good deal for, you know, their sponsorship for him, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Well, this is his fifth tour start. So win right off the bat, and it was a, you know, not an opposite field event, kind of felt like it for a lot of the weekend, but it just goes to show the beauty of golf, watching him and Sammy Valimaki, go at it today because their hair is about the only thing that looks similar to them. Jake Knapp looks like he spends a lot of time in the gym. I actually saw a funny tweet from our friend of the program, Davis Brendel, who my personal trainer. I'll call
I actually
him that.
Wanted to discuss that tweet too.
Yeah. So he does a lot of high school golfers, college golfers, he's in a place where it's just a mecca of training, and he has a lot of golf kids, which I find hilarious in general that any high school kid would tell a personal trainer of his level of prestige what they want to do.
Yeah.
Or what they think he should tell them to do.
But I would say we're pretty familiar with that with golf lessons, because generally you'd think people would come to you for your advice, but then they just end up telling you what they want you to tell them. So yeah, pretty similar. We've dealt with that, but yeah, when you're getting trained at the gym, that's kind of the point of paying the trainer, is to listen to what they have to say.
Yeah, and I bet if we, you know, could talk to Davis again, which we might at some point, would be a good episode to recap. But I bet these kids are like 5'10", 120, 130, like super skinny kids that are like, I don't want to get big arms. I'm worried about, oh yeah, that seems like that's your problem, dude.
The circumference of your arm is about 6 inches, maybe. Let's increase that and then go from there.
Yeah, I guarantee these kids are not the type of kids that are just going to all of a sudden start pounding the creatine and blow up and looking like they're in a bodybuilding competition, for sure.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you the difference in golfers. And two guys right at the top of the leaderboard, Valimaki took a lead at one point with an incredible drive on 7 and made eagle. He was in the lead by himself. Knapp quickly tied him. But the funny part about Jake Knapp is everybody was just all over his ball striking all week, which he was leading the entire field by almost 5 strokes and strokes gained tee to green through Saturday. Today, he hit it all over the map.
Yeah.
Every drive, there's like a montage of pictures on Twitter by someone, and it was like him after every tee shot. It was like him after 4 different tee shots. One, he's looking left and the shot tracer's just headed dead left. One, he's like standing up. He's like standing, you know, that look when you like cross your feet and he's like holding onto his club and he's pointing right. And it's just a banana slice right. He hit 2 out of 14 fairways today. And he's the first player in the tour history since the track stats have been tracked since 1983. So 40-ish years. For almost going on past 40 years of tracking.
Good math.
That a player has won on the PGA Tour hitting 2 or less fairways in the final round.
Yeah, and luckily enough for him, the rough wasn't super penal today. But I can tell you, because I've gone through exactly what he's gone through. Obviously, I don't even need to preface it by saying I'm nowhere near his ball striking level. But when you're a drawer of the ball, like he probably wants to draw it and likes to draw it. But there was a few holes he was trying to hit, like a squeeze fade into the fairway. But it felt like he was so anti-left that he really wasn't getting all the way over onto his left side and really finishing his swing. Because I think he felt like if he got all the way over to his left side, it was going to go left. But then he just ends up hitting it miles right. But he couldn't commit to really swinging hard enough left to get that ball started up the left center if he was trying to fade it. So his path ended up a little inside out, but then his face is open to that, you know, which could be some sequence things. It could be some other things, but yeah, he was blowing it way right. And a lot of people don't understand too, you know, everyone always says the further you hit it, well, like people don't really get that when you hit it further, it goes further offline. Like just by simple math standards, like if you hit the ball 200 yards and you miss it 10% offline, that's 20 yards. If you hit the ball 300 yards and miss it 10% offline, that's 30 yards. You see what I'm saying? So the room for error, it gets smaller and smaller as you hit it that much further. And he luckily got away with quite a few of those. I mean, the par 5 on the back 9, he kind of hit it in the trees, ended up being able to pitch out and make par and didn't really have to sweat that, but he did miss a few opportunities. I mean, it was kind of a classic type of round where this dude plays the best golf of his life 3 days in a row, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday is just holding on for dear life to try to get the W. And Valimaki's kind of in the same position. He's a young kid. from Finland, I want to say. And so it was actually pretty cool to see two young dudes really battling it out at the top, because you knew one of them was going to win. Like, barring them shitting down their leg, you know what I mean? There were 3-4 clear of the rest of the field. So you knew one of them was going to step up and take it. And Valimaki hit a few wonky shots down the stretch, and Knapp was just steady enough to get it done. Made quite a few putts inside of 5 to 10 feet today. Pitched the ball really well. So just goes to show you there's multiple ways to get it done out there. But his swing, and I tweeted it, and I think it was a great tweet, because one of the golf outlets put Jake Knapp's swing is blank. And I said, Jake Knapp's swing shows people that you don't have to look like you're swinging it super hard in order to swing it fast. Because if you have a good enough swing, I don't know what that was, if you have a good enough swing and your club face is in the correct position and you have good enough rhythm, you can make 180 mile an hour ball speed look effortless like he does. And I'm not saying everybody's physically capable of that, because I'm not, but this dude clearly is. And yeah, he's got the biceps going. He's got the mullet going. He's just a good looking Marissa. Have you seen a picture of this guy? What do you think?
Yeah. She's in.
He does look a little,
fratty.
No, a little fratty, a little, got a very skinny, like he's very like veined out. Like you can see
vascular.
Vascular. Is that the, okay. I'm so unfamiliar with what that looks like. I don't know. Don't even know the term for it. I see a few veins every once in a while come out of my body. Well, I'm just going to leave it at that. But the guy is kind of the stereotypical pro now that is in the gym, that isn't afraid to, you know, look quote unquote ripped, and just seems like he really, really cares about his body. I will say that the whole bouncer at a nightclub thing, you know, you hear these stories and you almost think that, like, you almost feel bad for the guy, or it kind of makes you want to root for him. So I kind of looked into his, like, looked down his Instagram and shit. He played golf at UCLA. I mean, let's just say he wasn't underprivileged as a child. So that's kind of, it's like in the NFL draft when somebody gets picked, you know, 5th overall, and they bring up the worst thing that's ever happened to them in their life. So then you're like, you automatically kind of feel for them. And then you like look into their background and it's like, oh, they went to IMG Academy and, you know, all of this shit. And I'm not saying that's everybody, but it was just kind of funny, because the whole point of a lot of those storylines is for you to kind of feel for the guy a little and think he came from a humble background. And I'm not saying he's not a humble dude. I don't know the guy, obviously, but he went to UCLA and played golf. So you can't tell me you got it that bad when you go to UCLA and play golf.
No, and he also looks like he... if you got a mullet and you're a pretty ripped dude, you probably party pretty hard. So we have a video here of him after the round. Now, he's sponsored by the Anaheim Ducks. Pretty awesome scenario.
Probably grew up as a childhood fan of the Ducks. So yeah. Here he is shotgunning a beer with his Ducks sweater on, which is just badass. Like, he is probably going to go rage tonight. Puerto Vallarta lookout, unless he's just flying straight back to California. But do you know what else? So he's sponsored by the Anaheim Ducks. Mark Hubbard, who's from Colorado, is sponsored by the Denver Broncos. Like that, I think I've talked about this once on the pod before, probably years ago. I think that is the ultimate coolest possible sponsor you could have. Would be your favorite childhood team growing up to sponsor you and wear their logo. Like, you're a quote unquote part of their team, even though you're not. That would be the coolest thing in the world. Like a Broncos logo, a Nuggets logo, an Avalanche logo. How sick would that shit be?
Yeah, that'd be awesome to just rock that on your bag and be able to... I bet there's got to be some other perks to that, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you probably would imagine, like, season tickets or a certain sort of access.
I bet they don't even pay him. I bet it's like a trade-out. I bet he gets season tickets. I bet he gets box privileges. You know, unfortunately, the Anaheim Ducks aren't really worth watching in person this year and haven't been for a while. Now I don't want to tell tales out of school, but Jake Knapp almost looks to me like he's done a cycle or two. Am I super far off base there? Marissa, you probably know better what, somebody on steroids looks like, just 'cause You've seen a lot of meatheads at the gym before. Do you think there's any possibility he's done steroids?
Maybe, no? But he's a little too small.
He's too, okay. So you're telling him he needs to get bigger?
No, I'm saying that he's pretty. No,
bulletin so board, not impressed.
Bulletin no. board material for Jake Knapp.
No, I'm very impressed. No, he's just. it looks more natural. It doesn't look like it's been built up. I mean, I was.
Do I look natural?
Yes, you do look.
I'm
natural.
I'm all natural. Yeah, that's, yeah. I'm glad I look. Some people mistake me for having done a few cycles of donuts. no, but I would agree he does look more natural. There's just a little, like when you get that veiny, is that, what do you think that
he's probably like, I wouldn't be surprised if he took like fat burners.
Okay.
Or if he's eating so clean that his body fat percentage is just that. It could also be genetic. Like I'm going to use Lindsay as an example. She's very vascular when she works out, and okay. That's just genetics.
Okay.
Yeah.
So something I was not blessed with. I may need to get his regimen after this, but yeah, he just a ripped dude and good looking guy. Happy for him. Happy for his win. And I think Sammy Vallamaki is going to be a force to be reckoned with going forward. He's already won on the DP World Tour. I think he's 26 years old.
Yeah, he's won on the DP World Tour. He's won in the world other than the PGA Tour 6 times already.
Yeah.
No, so no stranger to that. But he did look, both of the guys today coming down the stretch looked like a bit of a, some of the shots they hit, you're like, that looks like a train wreck.
Yeah, I think if there would have been one veteran dude in contention, Tony Finau, because he fucking likes to win these kinds of events. If he would have been down the stretch in contention with these dudes, he would have pulled away and won that thing. Like, in my opinion, if you would have taken, oh my God, I cannot talk today. If you would have take any veteran dude who's won before, put them in that group, they're going to pull away from both of those dudes. But that's what I think is so unique about that situation down the stretch, was it was like, they both might shit the bed, but who's going to do it less? Like, who's going to figure out how to win this event?
Yeah, because there was nobody that was close enough to either of them that was scaring them. And so it was, it wasn't a matter of who could shit the bed less.
Yeah, exactly.
It ended up being Jake Knapp. PXG guy, you know, they're starting to pile up these wins. I was going to wear my PXG hat today.
But you might get me on, I might be making a move to PXG.
Oh, real quick. Let's take the train off the rails for 2 seconds. Let's talk about your current club scenario.
Oh my God. So I'm going to Charleston to play golf for a few days. And I actually asked my buddy that I sold my old clubs to, if I could have them back for the next few days to take to Charleston with me, because I cannot stand, and it's nothing against Mizuno. Obviously they make great clubs. I cannot stand the way my Mizunos feel, and they're just flat out too heavy for me. Like, I need to get, Jake Knapp should be playing those clubs, not me. I swing it significantly slower than he does. And, even Josh Seipel, I was texting him about my clubs, and he goes, dude, those shafts, like, it is borderline impossible to create any spin. Cause they're the low spinning, extra stiff, 125 gram. They basically feel like 2x4s that I'm trying to swing. So I actually went to the range yesterday and I was striping it with my old sticks. And I'm like, thank God. I thought I was starting to just suck at golf. Like, I really was starting, it was planting a seed of doubt in my head. So I needed that range session yesterday. And once I get back from Charleston, I need to maybe go visit our boy over at PXG Denver and see what I can get sorted out, because I am done with this shit. Like, I'm just hitting high pop flies to right. I can't fucking work those clubs right to left if my life depended on it. So just a little too stout for me, a little too heavy. So I need a twig that I can toss around.
I think you've got one of those, but we're not going to get into that on this podcast. This is a golf podcast. Before we get into anything else, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Coors Light. When you just need a second to chill, need a moment to, you know, take the edge off, that's what we were doing Friday, all Friday night. We were at the bar,
lattes on deck,
drinking Coors lattes. I did mix in a Coors Banquet, but it's just lattes after lattes after lattes. Coors Light is my favorite beer by far. It was when we found out that this was going to be a deal for All City in general. Pretty hyped because now we can rock all our Coors Light shit. We can drink Coors Lights openly and honestly like we do anyways. But we were hammering drinks at the DNVR bar on Friday night, watching the Nuggets win. Coors Lights, nothing better. Mitchell got pretty toasty.
Oh, I got fucking hammered.
It was hilarious. It was great. But I was just drinking Coors Lights, had a nice chill night. Mountains are not quite blue.
We can't keep these puppies on ice. We got some downstairs waiting for us.
Yeah, we got some downstairs waiting for us. Real quick, since it is Sunday, Nuggets prediction for the score tonight. You're going to be listening to this on Monday. You're traveling back in time and hearing us predict the Nuggets win.
I am going to take Nuggets 113 to 109.
And I'm taking Nuggets 108 to 103 over the Golden State Warriors. I do have a crispy same game parlay cooked up for that game. And I do my parlays and all my betting through Bet365. Use the code ALLCITY when you sign up for Bet365. And you get to choose two different offers of a first bet safety net of $1,000 or betting $5 to get $150 when you sign up with that code. We bet all of our golf through Bet365. This week, another week where Cameron Champ on my card blasts out to a lead on Thursday. But we know you can never win a tournament on Thursday. You can only lose it, like Mitchell's pick, who was +8 after two rounds, playing with Tony Finau, who is also on our card. But I think we're becoming increasingly good. We need to start finding bets on the Bet365 app that are like T11 through 17. That's the honey hole for our guys.
We need to live bet. Oh, yes, you're saying before the week, just bet on dudes to finish right outside of the top 10.
Right outside of where we're going. So this week we had Doug Gim. Shout out to Doug Gim, a friend of Mitchell's from 15 years ago. He finished in the top 10, T8, but that's going to be a...
And we had four guys literally
right there.
Right either between T10 and T13 going into
within
today.
Two strokes of the top 10.
Yeah.
We had one guy finish in the top 10, Doug Gim.
I'm so done with that.
Shout
shit.
Out to me. Tony Finau, T13, Brandon Wu, T13, Cameron Champ, 6 under through his first 7 holes of the tournament, just 2 under the last, what would that be, 65 holes of the tournament. And then Emiliano Grillo was 10 under starting the day, shot 2 over today. All he needed to shoot was 1 or 2 under to get us in the top 10.
Disgusting.
Doesn't do it. So maybe we're going to find the T11 through T20 and start really hammering that out. But we're going to hit a winner here soon. I'm feeling it. Use the Bet365 app. Choose between those two offers. Must be 21 plus and physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. They need to want help. That's the key. Not all of us do. All right. Moving on to, let's just talk real quick about the DP World Tour in Kenya. True story out of this one. Joe Dean, delivering groceries a week ago, now wins 170,000 euro at the Kenya Open. He's an Englishman who, and I'm reading from BBC.com. That's interesting.
You've never heard of British Broadcast Channel? I think that's what it stands for.
No, I've only
That's like one of the most famous networks. It's the equivalent of like ABC in America. It's a very, that's like what Peaky Blinders is on, was the BBC.
I've only heard of one BBC, and it definitely doesn't have to do with any sort of news.
Yeah, I know you've typed that into a few search bars. Dude, so I read more up on this dude.
He's 29 years old from Sheffield. That's where
Matt Fitzpatrick's
from.
What confuses me is that he said, like, he has status on the DP World Tour. He didn't play in any events because he couldn't afford to get there. Like, if you're on the DP World Tour, how do you not have sponsorship at least enough to cover your fees to get to the tournaments? Like, what the fuck is the point in going to the DP World Tour Q school if you can't make it to half these tournaments? So luckily he had a great week this week. He's going to be able to afford at least to play this year and, you know, probably put down the groceries for a bit. But Andy Sullivan was the same thing. And that's kind of why I like Andy Sullivan. He was bagging groceries the 2 years prior to getting out on the DP World Tour and now has had like a long successful career out there. So maybe I need to go apply at Safeway or something because that seems like the ticket.
just yeah, just have a really good, make a really good story. And then
yeah,
it's inevitable that you rise immediately to the top.
I was going to make like a joke about you getting hurt somehow, and then that would be my story. Like, bro,
your face. I think, yeah, that's kind of fucked.
Yeah. Well,
all right. So
it was funny when I thought of it, but then it almost came out and I didn't let it. So.
I think we have a story.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, we have a story to tell.
We do have a story.
A couple of funny quotes from him, just because he's English and it's just the way they say things that I love it. So he finished two shots behind the winner, making 170,000 euro. He said it's, quote, got to be life changing. It's what people dream of, end quote. Also another quote, after the last 3 or 4 years, I never thought I'd get another chance. Still some gremlins to get past in order to get to my full potential. But like anyone, you've got to get over them, squash them, and keep going. I've never been one of the most overconfident people. Coming into this week was a bit daunting. Second event, you don't really feel like you belong and like you're trying to prove something. Luckily, I managed to get over that quickly and figure out how to get around the golf course. I would say, yeah, I would say
he did pretty good at that.
I would say 170,000 euro. I don't know exactly what. It's so crazy because the only time I've ever had to translate the money, or the one time we went to Europe when we were like 13, so this is almost 20 years ago, it was like the euro was way more valuable than the dollar.
Yeah.
And now it's like I pretty think it's close to even, right?
I think like 150, I just remember being in Scotland, I think like $150 is worth like 180 euros right now. So 17,000.
So it's 183,000 US dollars.
Is oh
that his 170,000 euro.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So yeah, that's pretty good. Similar to probably Canadian money. Well, no, that's different. That's the other way around.
Hopefully for him now, he can travel to these other events. Like hopefully he doesn't go back to, you know, I mean, if you got to bag the groceries, you got to bag the groceries. But
I think he should be able to get out there for the rest of the season. Real quick, this whole money converting thing, I don't really understand. I understand the conversion of like, but if your money is more in other dollars, does that mean ours is worth more?
No, because it, right now the euro is worth, or no, yes.
Okay,
right now the American dollar is worth more because if you can get, you can buy two things that are the same price in both. You could buy, like, if something was $1,000, you could buy 108, he could buy 183 of them versus buying 170 of them in Europe.
Okay, yes.
So that means the dollar is more powerful.
Okay, got you. That, see where I was at? Like, my mind was just in a blender.
Yeah, it feels like it used to be the other way around, for sure. Like, our dollar was like worth nothing. Like it was like we had to spend double dollars.
I think we went like when right in the midst of like the crash, and like I think we went like 08 or 09. So that would kind of check out that our dollar wasn't worth shit because America was just in the toilet. But yeah, congrats to Joe Dean finishing second. There's also a dude in the final group. They didn't say who it was on Twitter, but he had the shanks. He was like leading on the DP World Tour, fully shanking it, which was just wild. And if you can't stomach watching shit like that, that for somebody that's had the shanks before, watching somebody else shank it is like watching a car accident. Like it gives you PTSD. It's not something that you even want to watch. There's people that don't even like the word. Like you don't even say the word. It's like, you know, an unwritten rule that you just don't say. And then we also had a Ugandan player.
Ronald Rugumayo.
Well done.
Ugandan. First ever Ugandan to make a cut, and he was actually leading the event.
Was he really?
On Saturday.
Get the fuck out.
Yep.
That's so sick. And did he make the cut like right on the number?
Yes.
Because he made like a 10-footer to make it onto the weekend, and everybody was like freaking out, which is so badass. And of course, like, I thought about this. This is a little like crazy and off the rails, but he said Tiger is his hero. And there's just so many people out there like that. Like, do you think Tiger understands the magnitude of what he did for so many different people? And like, you have this dude from Uganda that is now the first ever DP World Tour player to make a cut on that tour. And he basically credits his passion for golf to Tiger Woods. Like, do you think Tiger really truly understands the effect he's had on so many people's lives.
I don't know if he'll be able to fully take that in until it's he's done playing.
Yeah,
until he's done playing.
But even then, it's something I don't know. Even then, it's something I don't know if you ever can truly wrap your head around.
No, dude, the amount of, he changed the landscape of an entire sport that's worldwide.
Yeah,
not every sport is worldwide and played in every single country in
prestige
the entire
worldwide.
World. But I also got some bad information here. He finished dead last.
Oh,
so of the players that made the cut. So some Ugandan TV show said like it was like in the lead.
Oh my god,
he's in the lead to make the cut, but. Doesn't matter because
did you just think because the URL was in the lead that you thought...
No, it wasn't the URL. It was like it was literally said in lead.
Oh, okay. Well,
so he was, and it was a day ago.
Okay.
So he wasn't in the lead for anything, but he made the cut and he made money, and he's the first ever player from Uganda to do that. Speaking of that, like just like Sammy Valimaki, he's going to be become the first ever. He's going to win a PGA Tour event. He'll become the first ever tour player from Finland. To win a tour event. So it's, we're getting into like a lot of European players. Well, obviously with the DP World Tour being able to move to the PGA Tour, which is why Valimaki's here. He's competed a couple of times already this year and it won't be long before he wins one. It was also called the Magical Kenya Open, which is badass.
Yeah, which is fire.
And right? Your guy Nacho got second. Nacho Elvira, one of the twins.
Oh, wasn't it his brother?
Nacho and Manuel Elvira. They were both in the top five.
Oh, okay. So
hell of a week for the brothers.
Yeah, his brother, that's his high. That's Emmanuel. Is it Manuel?
Manuel Elvira.
That's Manuel's highest finish on the DP World Tour so far. It's his first year out there. So there was actually a video of Nacho standing behind the green waiting for him to come in and like cheering him on and shit. So that's a very cool moment as a brother.
Yeah, we'll never have that moment.
No, that's like you cheering me on when I never mind. I was going to compare it to something, but we don't need to talk about that.
The club championship?
No.
When you beat me?
Yeah. No, I was thinking about like me pulling into the garage after a couple of beers.
Oh, like, yeah.
Proud brother. You made it back.
Made it back. That's in one piece.
Yeah. That's the equivalent.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have to come pick you up from an undisclosed location. All right, before we get out of here, let's give a shout out to Patty Tava Tanakit. She won the LPGA Tours event in Thailand this year. She is 24 years old, and this is one of the things that's cool is like when she's from Thailand, but when you see a player, like there was still a pretty stacked leaderboard, like a stacked field for it. It's called the Honda LPGA Thailand.
Oh, okay.
So there's no more Honda Classic on the PGA Tour, which is supposed to be next week.
It's Honda, not Handa?
Honda.
Oh, okay.
Honda LPGA Thailand. But like she goes out and this is probably a place she's played before, feels really comfortable at, and ends up winning, cashing a cool $262,000 for her dub. And she's now third in the CME rankings. And it's just like, I love when somebody can go win in there, like when Nick Taylor won the Canadian Open. It's just like it means more to them, and it means more to the group of, you know, the fans watching that they're like, hey, there's not all these, you know, these other
Americans.
Well, the Americans don't really rule the LPGA Tour.
That's true.
All right. We do have a new segment this week that we're going to roll out. So it's going to be tweets we don't get any love on. So we'll do this at the end of every month, but we're gonna basically put a few tweets out there that we thought were hilarious from our Big Drive Energy account. Follow us on there. If you're not on the Big Drive Energy account, make sure you follow us at Big Drive Energy at Big Drive Energy Pod on Instagram. But these are the tweets that we felt we got no love on
that were really good, funny tweets. Because it's usually, let's be real, it's usually me. I tweet most of the time for us. You throw in a random one here and there, but I'm usually the one with the hot Twitter fingers. Spencer's the one paying the rent at home, so I'm just on Twitter while he's doing that. But Marissa, do you possibly have those, or am I? We put them in the BDE.
Oh, here we go. I've got them. So we did have a tweet where we quote tweeted. It said, top five fan quote I've ever overheard from Riviera. Quote, one thing about Liv is that they took a lot of the hot wives, and we tweeted, dude's really talking about the hard-hitting stuff in the crowd. Zero likes.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
That was absolutely hilarious.
Another one that I liked from myself, so obviously I wouldn't not like it. Charlie Hoffman coming down the stretch at the Waste Management was kind of pinned up against a bunker, like a lip of a bunker. And he had probably 140 yards in, and he had to, you know, get the ball up in the air quickly. I tweeted, Charlie isn't used to getting it up that quick at his age at Waste Management Phoenix Open. Zero likes. Right over everybody. I feel like nobody got it. Because if you get that and like, you don't like it, that's fucking... What do I need to do for you?
Yeah, and that was like the original reason we decided to do this segment.
Yeah.
That's the OG tweet right there.
Yes.
Another one that we got that was great was the last one. We tweeted we were at the Waste Management. It was horrible weather. There was nobody on the range. There was lightning.
Yeah, there was a delay.
Like, it was a delay. And we tweeted, apparently there's no grinders on the PGA Tour anymore.
With a picture of the
empty range.
Yeah.
Not funny, apparently.
That was fucking funny.
Right.
And I almost thought that somebody might be offended by that. Like, oh, there. And I'm like, you don't get the joke. So, but guess what? Nobody liked it. So there's nobody to offend because everybody scrolled right past that fucking thing.
Yeah. Unfortunate. Let's finish this pod up with Mulligan of the Week. Mulligan of the Week, Monday. Mitchell, you want to start us off?
Yeah. I mean, probably just Friday night getting too drunk. It's always, you know, when you're already drunk and you're already like there and then somebody asks you if you want another drink, why do you always say yes? Like, it's so much easier to just be like, no, I'm like, it's visible that I'm already there. Like, I don't need to keep going. But of course, Lindsay kind of peer pressured me into ordering another drink. Let's be real. Cause she kept doing that to Marissa also and everybody. She just wanted everybody to continue to drink. So, I blame that on Lindsay. Thank you for that. Nuggets won though, so that was good. But yeah, I just woke up and I was still kind of drunk and I was like, this is not great.
Yeah. The next morning we were,
yeah.
Well, we were watching, we decided to put a big bet on a college basketball game, 10 a.m. Saturday. Mitchell was a complete roller coaster. Every basket our team made, he was acted like it was his team winning the Super Bowl. And then every basket that the other team made, he acted like it was the end of the world.
Well, let's
and
be
it was
real.
Just the whole
it was
game.
It was Baylor-Houston. We were on Baylor because unless you're Baylor, you beat teams at home that are better than you. That's what everybody's been doing in college basketball this year, unless it's Baylor-Houston. So we bet Baylor plus 2.5. I think the score at one point was 25-10 Houston. And at that point, I just wanted to get on top of the roof and take a quick one right off of it. So yeah, being hungover in that moment / slightly still drunk, definitely did not benefit me. And Spencer's like, dude, remind me to never bet with you during March Madness because it's just an absolute roller coaster.
Yeah, he was horrible. My mulligan of the week is we got these really nice steaks last week.
Oh my God.
I was like trying to big dick Mitchell and cook them myself. He usually does like the grilling when he's at our house. And staying there, but I was like, nah, I got these. First flip comes out perfect. I was like, we're cooking, literally. I'm like, these steaks are going to be
perfect.
We're
grilling. We're cooking.
Set my timer on my phone. Go back out for the next one. The entire fucking grill was on fire. The one side of the steaks were completely black. It was just a super unfortunate scenario. So I brought them in. I was like shaving off the side like a prime rib off one side of the steak because I completely burned them. Luckily, they weren't overcooked.
I was going to say the like, middle was totally fine. It was just the one side
was
torched.
It seems like a marinating issue. They were marinated for a while, so they had some sauce on them, and that dripped down, caused a fire, burned the absolute tits off of them, which is hilarious because when I was living in the condo, I had the same issue where every time I'd do my steaks, they would start on fire. And you'd think I'd learn, but like this... lady, my neighbor, came out and my grill was on fire. She's fire, fire, fire. And I was like, no fire. It's just my grill. It's just my steak being cooked to a crisp, well done. But I did burn the steaks. So now Mitchell gave me shit for
two nights later. I grilled the steaks. I was like, Spencer, you want to see a magic trick? I'm about to not burn the absolute shit out of these steaks here.
He brought them in and they were perfect.
That, yes, thank you.
He is a master griller. I just can't like babysit him. That's the one thing I can't do.
It is decided.
Like, I am not. I'm good at like setting my alarm, coming back inside, doing something else, and then whatever.
Spencer likes to cook and do a million other things. That's honestly why I enjoy cooking, because it makes me do that thing. And you know, you got a couple minutes in between here and there. You can run, make another drink, grab another Coors Light, whatever. But you mostly have to focus. That should be the lesson learned here, is focus on the grill when you're grilling.
Yep. Lesson learned.
Eye on the ball.
I'm gonna give steaks another try.
Marissa, do you have a mulligan of the week?
Of course.
Let's hear it.
I am chaos all the time. No. So I live on a golf course, as you guys know. And my smallest dog loves golf balls. That's like her favorite thing in the entire world. And she likes the ones that float. So she will only go into the pond to get the ones that float.
That's like right by the clubhouse. Yes. Because that's the driving range.
Yes. That, like, we look kind of out to that a little bit. So normally I'm not worried about her chasing ones that are actively in the air.
How does she know if they're floating, though, if they're sitting on the ground? Well, she likes them when they're on the water.
Yeah, she likes to bob for them.
Okay.
And obviously get in the water.
Everybody likes a good bob.
Yeah, you know. But anyway, I let her leash down the other day, not thinking anything of it. And we have golfers back on the course now. And she's also blind, I think, pretty much, because she can't see shit when we do play catch. But she decided that this was her day that she was going to run out and chase a ball that a guy had just hit. And she ran out super fast. I'm like yelling at her, but also trying to be quiet because I don't want to draw attention to the fact that my dog is running after his.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get over here.
And he did really good. Like, it was like all his friends were cheering that he just hits like.
The dude or your dog?
The dude. Yeah. Okay. And I'm like panicking because I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, this guy's ball is about to be taken back to my house. And she like catches it and then loops really fast and just takes off. And so I'm like, I could go tell this guy that my dog just took his ball, but that's really embarrassing.
You just went inside.
I just went inside. Oh, and they,
did you watch?
Yeah, they like sat there for like 10 minutes like looking for
that. That is, we need to clip that, because that is like nightmare fuel. And that happens for multiple other reasons besides dogs. But that is a top five worst golf feeling, is when you are 99% positive your ball should be right there and it's not there. Like, it's just confusion, anger, all of the above. So that's fucked up.
Well, he hit it down the middle. Like, I mean, like, his
that's
friends,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, his friends were like hyped. And I was like, oh my God. And I probably should have just been like, hey man, I'm really sorry. My dog just took your ball.
It was right in this area. He'd have been like, oh, great.
Yeah, but I panicked because
me. No, that's scary.
So Marissa's public enemy number one of public golf, and she produces a golf podcast. That's a tough scene.
I would have probably done the same.
You would have ran inside and slid. Dude, I watched, there was a DoorDash order coming, and like you saw the driver and you literally like laid on the floor.
I hate confrontation with anyone.
It's not, he's literally handing you food.
Yeah, but it's dropped off for a reason.
But my thing, and I think you're kind of the same, I'm awkward in certain situations. Like, I can be cool, but then I overthink while I'm talking to the person, and then it just ends up being like this awkward.
Who told you could be cool?
I told myself I could be cool.
I'm
thank
just
you
kidding. You're very cool.
Thanks.
But yeah,
I was cooler than you were Friday.
Oh yeah, I don't know about that. If you call driving cool, I was in the passenger seat. I was just cruising it. I was playing the aux. I was on the aux cord, pumping up the boys for the ride home.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah,
it was great.
I mean, I'm fun. I'm a good time.
You are a good time.
Thank you.
And this podcast was a good time, but we are getting out of here for the day. Enjoy your Monday evening. We'll be back on Wednesday with a full episode of Big Drive Energy. Make sure to follow us on all socials at Big Drive Energy and at Big Drive Energy Pod on the Instagram. We'll talk to you Monday or Wednesday. Peace.
Tomorrow's Monday.